So what was your, I mean, did you go to school?
No, I had a private tuition, no.
So can you remember what the days were like? What sort of things you did?
Fantastic. I mean, get up in the morning, the weather was beautiful, the usual thing. Then there was a lovely garden there. Behind the hotel lived this family in a huge house behind the hotel, which is still there. And we were friends with them. We were invited to the embassies, to anything that was going on. In the summer, you went to the beach every day. There were cinemas, there was a circus, there was a fashion show. Also in the evenings, you went out to sit in a cafeteria and dress up, and sit there enjoying life. And my grandmother used to take us a lot, more than my mother. And we visited my aunt, who lived in Casablanca in Tangiers as well, at the life of Riley, a life of luxury. And then we had lessons in the afternoon. But apart from that, there was no austerity. There was no, not like Victor here, there was no shortage of food or anything. I mean, when I tell some people in England, and they cannot begin to understand, oh, was there any food? It was luxury there. It was international. Anybody who was anybody lived in Tangiers, you know what I mean? And it was great.
That's fantastic. I
It
mean, it's
was
such an
fantastic.
amazing
It
story.
was
I mean,
fantastic.
what about, do you think that, I keep thinking about the film of Casablanca, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, do you think about the film of Casablanca?
To me, it's a stupid film. I don't like black and white, and it's very melodramatic. It's like Brief Encounter. I think it's an awful film. People like it, but I don't like it. But no, it wasn't like that at all. No,
I
no.
just wondered if there were quite a lot of spies there.
Oh yes, definitely. Oh yes, definitely. Also, going back to what I said before, that all the some Gibraltarians had stayed behind for whatever reason. They, in the end, were the ones that came into Tangiers. A small group, very small group. The ones that really stayed behind because they had no children, most of them, or because of some reason, or tried to hang on to staying in Gibraltar. They were the ones that really landed in Tangier, a handful of them. And it's very funny because, have you been to Tangiers? No. Well, that's a lovely, as you go to the Boulevard Pasteur, there's a little wall there and you can see the Straits of Gibraltar. Now, a lot of these Gibraltarians used to sit there in the afternoon, again, a sort of. And they used to call it the little, the wall, la pared. Do you speak Spanish at all? No. La pared de los aliados, because that little wall is where all these people used to sit sometimes just to see the world go by. I had lessons in the afternoon. I spoke Spanish all the time. I never spoke English in Tangiers at all. And really, I think this is where I get this thing that I cannot relate, really, to the British culture.
It's very different, isn't it?
It's
And
totally different.
do you think, I mean, some of the people who hung on, as you said, in Gibraltar, who came
Yeah.
over later,
Yeah.
presumably they weren't living in such luxury as you were. Were people
Yes,
poor?
no,
Were
no, 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 no. There was nothing poor, nothing hardship. There was no hardship at all. No, definitely not. In fact, those really must have come independently, like we did. They must have come. No, there was no hardship at all. No.
And can you remember your community? I mean, was it generally Gibraltarians or
No,
English?
no, no,
Who
no.
did your mother and grandmother mix with?
My aunt, who was there as well, the man who ran the hotel was a Spaniard from Madrid, this family, and because we were there for a long, what, 3 to 4 years, we were just friendly with them. I mean, and my now the hotel did not provide food because that, but we could use part, and then we had, of course, an Arab or two women who did all the cooking, and we were friendly with them. And I'll never forget the doorman, who was this tall Arab man. During the day, he did odd jobs, and in the evening, he used to change into his gear and sit at the entrance of the hotel with his beads. Hamido. And then, when the Arabs had their festivals, when there was a funeral, we used to hear the chanting, and my sister, we used to run out to see. If it was a man, he was wrapped up in a blanket on a box, and the Arabs sang in front and behind. If it was a woman, she was wrapped up in lovely colored clothes. And it was part of our life. That's a funeral. Come on, let's go look at it. When the Arabs have a feast where they kill a lamb, similar to our turkey, and they kill it in a mosque, and then it has to arrive alive at the other mosque, and they used to run with this animal in a basket, bleeding to death, and we used to go out and watch it. And this Arab, the porter, used to bring us a little bit of the lamb after his feast, as you would give a bit of turkey to anybody. So those are my memories. The costumes of the Arabs, they in the evening, you know, they're going out and seeing all this, like a film, you know, like, and it's never left me.
And the men as well.
Oh yes, definitely. And the most important thing, everybody spoke four languages. They had never been to school, meaning the workmen: English, French, Arabic, and their own. English, French, Spanish, and Arabic. Even the little boy in the market, even the one in the souk.
You're talking about the Arabs who spoke four languages.
In 10 years, yes, all of them. Never been to school. Amazing. Clever. They could turn rings around any admiral, I tell you. They can run rings around them. They are streetwise people, clever people, crafty people. And another memory, when my father used to come, and the soccer, there was a big souk outside where we live, big souk. And from this road came on the Thursday the Arab women from the countryside with their goods on camels with a big hat on, and used to go to the souk. And the souk was like any souk, snake charmers and all that. And they used to bring cheese made from goat's milk in a bit of a palm tree. You know the palm tree? No hygiene whatsoever. We used to bite and eat it. And to this day, it didn't do us any harm. And in the little, the other, it was called Soko Shiko, going down to the beach, to all these Arab shops. There was one man there in a little wooden table, full of sticky sweets, full of flies. And on that table, he would change every currency that you wanted, without a paper, without a pencil, without a computer. Nothing. My father used to come with pounds, he used to change it into pesetas, into French. Fascinating. To me, fascinating.
It must have been really hard for you all to go back to Gibraltar.
This is why I hated it. Of course it was. Landed back in Gibraltar. A dark, compared to Tangier, it was dark somehow. I don't know why. And we lived in a flat, our flat where I was born, but it was not like the hotel, no. You know what I mean? It was not all the openness. And then going to school, wearing a uniform, going to school and trying to learn a language which I didn't know anything about.
So it's at home, did you speak Spanish too?
All the time. All the time. All the time. And that's where I acquired this thing that I relate more to a Mediterranean culture than to an English culture. And I've been here now for 40 odd years.
So have you been back to Tangier?
Yes, about 4 years ago I said to Victor, I have to go back. I want, because usually people say, oh, if you go back it won't be the same as it was. Anyway, so we did a little tour of the Med, we went to Seville and all that, and then we crossed over from Algeciras, we went back, staying at the Minsa, because my grandmother, one of the things she used to do was to tea at the Minsa, which is, and it still is, the best hotel in Tangier. Lovely, fun. It's in the middle of the old part, but when you step in there, you step into another world. And we booked to stay there, and as soon as we had checked in, I said to Victor, now I'm going to walk out of here, and I'm going to walk where I used to live. So I walked out, turned the corner, and there was the old hotel, which now is an employment agency or something, but that's where I used to live, to show it where I used to live. And the souk is opposite, and the street where the Arabs used to come down, and the hotel Villa de France, that I think was demolished, or about to be demolished.
And what did you feel?
What do you mean?
When you went back, I mean, what did you sort of feel a sort of rush of memory, or what was it like standing
in Gibraltar?
There? No, but when you went back to Tangier.
Oh yes, like going back home. A lovely feeling of, I mean, I see Arabs around like that, and I think it's like being, it's part of those years were part of my life, formative years, which haven't left me, no.
And it must be something as well, something about, I've never been there, but, you know, that quality of the light, the Mediterranean light.
Yes, yes.
It's so different. The colour looks different.
Totally. And the thing is that I have brought it with me. If you notice downstairs, I have to have carpets on the wall. color everywhere, hanging everywhere, when people who don't know me walk in, like living in the souk.
It's true, isn't it? I noticed that the doors are painted.
Yes, yes. I have to have the Mediterranean colors with me. I have to. I cannot. All the other Gibraltarians living. Whether you know the Hume sisters, they married Englishmen who were in the army in Gibraltar. A lot of got married. And if you go to the houses which we go to, it's a typical English house. When they come here, I tell them, "You're coming into the souk now," I say to them.
And have you been, do you go back to Gibraltar quite often?
Not a lot, no, because my sister lives in Malaga. Now, my sister married a Spanish man, then she married another one, then she divorced both, and is extremely happy. I'm just talking to her now. And we started going to Malaga a lot. So when I go now, I go, mind you, I have been to Gibraltar for five, with a lovely time. When they did the Nelson celebrations, we went. We stayed at the Rock. That was lovely. And we've been several times, mostly to do with the heritage and things like that. Victor's sisters, I'm sure he has told you, they live there in Gibraltar, two sisters and a brother. And Gibraltar has changed a lot. But I don't find it attractive. How can I explain? It's home, in a way, because I was born there. But it doesn't sort of... How can I explain it? It's not all home, in a way. It's beautiful. Gibraltar is a lovely place, and people live very well in Gibraltar. People live in luxury in Gibraltar. That's a lot of money in Gibraltar, a lot of money. Even this weekend we went to a family wedding here in England. Some of them came, and you just hear them talking, and I think, gosh, you're in another bubble in Gibraltar. They don't go through the hardship that people go here, simply by traveling from A to B, say like you have done today. They haven't got a clue. They have a Maria to do the work for them, or an Arab woman. Do you know that the population of Gibraltar is roughly 30,000? That we employ 8,000 Spaniards officially that come in every day to work in Gibraltar.
Can you just say that one more time, because I interrupted you. Just say that thing about the population.
Well, as far as I know, roughly the population of Gibraltar is 30,000 more or less. And we employ, meaning we, I don't, officially, so I hear, 8,000 Spaniards that cross that frontier every day to work. Those are the ones on paper, the ones that come in and come out with a packet or two of cigarettes, whatever they can scrounge, or whatever little job they can do without going through the books. That's the situation in Gibraltar now.
This might sound a really crazy question, because I haven't been there, but I'm going in a few weeks or months. Or,
yeah.
But what I can't understand is how can they fit in such a small place?
Well, there you are, because it's not as small as it looks. You see a picture of the Rock, or you pass on a boat, on a liner, but when you're inside, it's quite big. It's not the image, it gives a different image to when you're inside, yes. Yeah.
When Victor was talking about leaving Gibraltar,
yes.
And he talked a lot about being, even when he was a child, he was very claustrophobic. He didn't go to school because he didn't like being shut in bed. And I think he felt that in Gibraltar as well. He didn't want your son to be brought up in that way.
Well, that is his version, yes. I won't go back on what he said is what he said. But I think the memories of the war here attracted him back to England somehow. Because whilst in Gibraltar, Victor mixed in with all the service people more than he mixed with everybody. Victor's a very friendly person. But he had a lot of time for the people in the army, the navy there, the air force, their wives. He was involved in that community that were not Gibraltarians, but in Gibraltar. You know what I mean? He was involved with them all the time. And I took part in it after a while, yes. Yeah.
So, speaking to you both, your experiences that happened in the war when you were very little children were really, really formative experience.
That's exactly what it is. Those formative years made an impression. Now, that's Victor and I, now if you talk to people, which has nothing to do with this perhaps, but if you talk to women, say like my mother, his mother, living in a very sheltered Gibraltar before the war, the ones that came to England, I mean, it must have been a terrible shock, and yet they coped very well. They became independent. Women became independent of men. They started working, earning perhaps, because they had to, but I think by law they had to work, earning a bit of money, becoming independent, seeing another world. Some of the women found another man who they liked more than the husband, you know, and so did the man in Gibraltar find another woman from Spain. That's the story my father used to tell us, that the Spanish women could come into Gibraltar. Nobody could stop them. So the men in Gibraltar started getting involved with the Spanish women, lots of them, and broke up marriages as well. And if my father used to tell us, if they wanted to find out how many women had not gone back to Spain, because there was like a, not a curfew, but they should go back, they used to put the air raid on, and then they all rushed to the underground, and then they caught them there. That's what they used to tell us. That's how the police found out how many had not gone back to Spain, the Spanish women.
I'd never thought about that. Of course, there must have been lots of people who came back and their marriages were...
Totally. They didn't find a home or a husband or anything. No. The war was fought by everybody. And the Gibraltarians, really, we had a... I was lucky, but they had a bad lot to be taken out of such a secure... affluent society, which it was. My mother used to say that women, when in her youth, she had to go out wearing a hat and gloves. There was nothing casual about it. And coming back, and some of them found no husband, no home. Really terrible.
Do you think that there were also, that perhaps it went on for a long time, a lot of family secrets?
Oh, yes. I mean, even now there are children that have appeared, you know what I mean, in Bilbao somewhere, from some of those relationships, yes. But as I think the most thing that the women became independent. They saw a life away from the male domination, which still exists, I think, and some enjoyed it. And now the ones that done that in Madeira, now I'm talking about 10 years all the time, but if you're going to talk or have already done so with some of the ones that went to Madeira, they had the life of Riley. Because Madeira was, I've never been, but it, and they had a very good time. And the ones who went to Jamaica as well.
Some, I wonder how they got on.
Well, there was a family there, the McGilveries. Now, I learned short and typing with her. She was a qualified teacher. She was a Jamaican who had married a Gibraltar man when they were there during the war. And she was the one who taught. She started a little school in Gibraltar, a private thing. And again, some had a lovely time. Others had a very bad time. My cousin who lives in Desborough, he's my cousin, my grandfather's, again, grandson. And her mother was Spanish. She was... because she had married a Spanish, she had married a Gibraltarian a year before or a few months before the evacuation, and some did it on purpose. She landed in England without knowing a word of English or anything. But she managed very well. She found herself a job. She started doing this. She said she went back with a few pounds she had saved. And there are lots of very happy stories about them, and others not. It depended.